As we continue our study there, in John chapter 1, introductions can say a lot about someone. When we introduce another person, we introduce people all the time to someone else. Husbands would say, "This is my dear wife, my better half." And wives usually, when they introduce their husbands, they say, "This is my knight in shining armor. Here he is." I have heard about New Englanders, real New Englanders, those who have been there for a long time in New England, that 3 to 5 inches of supposed snow does not stop them. And I say, behold, I have met them this morning. I've learned that 3 to 5 inches of snow is child's play. That's nothing up here. We introduce people sometimes seriously. We say, "This is my friend," or "This is someone I've known for years. They saved my life." Or introduce somebody to somebody else, and they embrace that person. They say, "I've heard all about you. Finally, now I get to see you and to meet you." Well, John the Baptist introduces someone this morning to the crowds. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He introduces the crowds to Jesus Christ. 4 things that we will see this morning. The Lamb of God introduced. The Lamb of God concealed. Then the Lamb of God revealed. And then the Lamb of God proclaimed. In John chapter 1, just to give us the context of where we are, if you were not here last week, or if you're visiting this morning, beginning in verse 19, John the gospel writer writing the account of John the Baptist here, saying, "This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites, the religious leaders, from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, 'Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize in water. But among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John the Baptist was baptizing. And for this morning, the next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of who I was talking about. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" So here we have John the Baptist, the next day after the interrogation by the religious leaders, saying, "Who are you? What are you doing? What do you think you are doing? How dare you do this? This is our turf." Jesus was coming towards him. And he said, look to the crowds. He said, look, behold, there he is. Now he was approaching John, not for the first time. This was not their first interaction. They already had interaction while Jesus was baptized by John. Also, they could have been acquainted. I mean, they were related, but they grew up in two different areas, two different types of upbringing, so to speak. And it could have been weeks between John's encounter with Jesus to where Jesus is approaching now. And John brings the attention of the crowd to Jesus Christ. This was not planned by John. This was not John's timing. This was God's timing. And John the Baptist did not shrink back from proclaiming, there's the Christ, even though he went through what he went through with the religious leaders the day before in the interrogation. He comes back, and the crowds were there as well. And he says, behold, see, there he is. Emphatically introduces Jesus, the Lamb of God. This title was unimaginably startling to the people. It was an austere way to describe a man. First mention, first introduction, strange to some ears, yet the term would be recognizable. Those in the crowd who had any understanding from the scriptures, from the Old Testament, from the writings, would be shocked. We're reminded that the Jews were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting an Elijah. They were expecting a prophet. But John says, behold, the Lamb of God, indicating this was no ordinary man. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We remember one of the primary attributes of God is that He is holy. And a person cannot just approach God on their own terms. Sin makes a separation between man and God. There has to be blood shed in order for fellowship between God and man. A sacrifice must be made. Not just any sacrifice, not a strange sacrifice, not strange fire before the Lord, but God has a prescribed way, an appointed way that only He determines. There is much Old Testament significance to the word lamb. It's used in the scriptures in a literal sense, and it's used in the scriptures in a symbolic significance as well. We see this word in the Old Testament, the New Testament. So when we think of lamb, we think of the animal oftentimes, a lamb, but we also must think sacrifice, substitution, offering. Specifically in the Old Testament. A lamb was often seen by the Israelites as symbolizing gentleness, meekness, and innocence. Lambs were used by the people of God as an offering to God. Shed blood of a lamb as an offering in order to cover the sins of someone or some people. Particularly, the first mention of lamb is in Genesis 22. I'd invite you to turn there if you'd like. You know, most of us are familiar with the account of Abraham offering his son Isaac. We'll go from Genesis, then we'll go to Exodus. Read this for us, Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I tell you. Go there and slay your son as a offering. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This is the key. Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked together. We must continue here. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took a ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. God provided a lamb. Go to Exodus chapter 12. The account of the Passover. If any of you are following along with the Bible reading plan, you were somewhere in Exodus recently and with the calendar. So this will resonate this morning. You remember the plagues and how Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And here, the Passover lamb. The Lord said, chapter 12, verse 1, The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be the beginning month for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbors nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be unblemished male, a year old. You may take from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. For time's sake, I'll move forward here. Verse 13. The blood that we just read about, the blood shall be a sign for you, Israel, on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 21, for time's sake. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, to kill. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. They were covered by the blood. The blood of the Lamb was applied to their doorposts, and they were safe inside. Refuge. Significance of this word lamb. And then throughout the Old Testament, we see a pattern of a sacrificial system that develops. A lamb must be provided. Blood must be shed. One must be offered. Something must die. Just as John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus Christ, these Old Testament scriptures that we read about the lamb point to Christ as well. The types, shadows pointing to Jesus Christ. An animal pointing, a lamb pointing to Christ. But then we see in Isaiah chapter 53. Some of you know where I'm going with this chapter. You're getting excited right now because we're going to Isaiah chapter 53. It is here that Isaiah proclaims about a lamb as well. Yet this lamb is no ordinary lamb. This is the Lamb of God which he speaks. Beginning in verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. This is speaking of Christ. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, this Lamb of God. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. An imagery of the Lamb, an image of quiet suffering. Jesus, also, the Lamb of God, suffered quietly. Speaks of a sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to their own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, on Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his death. You know why? Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. And verse 10 is an amazing, astounding statement. But the Lord was pleased to crush him. God the Father was pleased to crush his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, those who belong to Christ, those who come to life, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. This Lamb of God, oppressed, afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. This Lamb of God led to the slaughter, was silent like a sheep that it's before its shearers. And Peter picks this up as well in 1 Peter 1:19. This precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. When John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin," they knew what he was referring to as a lamb. They knew the Old Testament, the pattern of shed blood as a substitute that covered the sins of another. Now, it's not just for Israel. It's not just for a nation or a people group, but for the sin of the world, meaning Gentiles as well, that all who would come to Christ in faith and repentance. Back to John. Verse 3:17. Well, let's start in verse 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God, here, verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. He will come back and judge, but that the world might be saved through him. The Samaritans got this. John 4, I'll read it for you. The Samaritan said, "We have heard for ourselves now and know that this one indeed is the Savior of the world." Not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. And 1 John 4:14 says, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." So far here this morning, we have the Lamb of God introduced. John the Baptist introduces the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we see in verse 30, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'" He's merely repeating what he said in verse 15. "But the Lamb of God concealed." Verse 31, "I did not recognize him." John the Baptist says, "I did not recognize him. But so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptized in water." In verse 33, he repeats it, "I did not recognize him." Does this mean that John the Baptist saw him and said, now I know who you are. I can recognize you now. You came a little closer." As we would say, someone's walking in with a hat and sunglasses we haven't seen in a while, and now I know who you are. They take their hat and sunglasses off. We say, "Oh, I recognize you now. I didn't before." Or they shave their beard off, and you say, "Man, I didn't even recognize you. I couldn't even tell who it was. Now I can." No, there's a much deeper meaning here. Perhaps John was acquainted with knowing Mary and Joseph and their son Jesus. But what did John know? He knew that God sent him to baptize in water so that the Messiah might be manifested to Israel. He knew that his ministry of baptism served a divine purpose. As what F.F. Bruce says, as a curtain raiser for the public appearance of the coming one. He knew the Messiah was coming. John knew that. Yet it was concealed by God who Jesus Christ was until God opened John's eyes. He revealed it to him. Until God sent John the sign, until God revealed Jesus to him, he did not know him. If God did not reveal who Christ was to John, he would have not recognized him. This is a picture of divine grace. As Jesus says in John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Is God pressing on your heart this morning? Pressing on you now to believe in Christ? No one can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. Is anyone sitting here this morning that God is drawing you to himself? The Lamb of God concealed, and then in regeneration, boom, the Lamb of God revealed. I see it. I see it. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world when God reveals it to us. John said twice, he did not recognize him. But John also said in verse 32-33, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him, upon him. So he says this, and in Matthew, now this, the baptism of Jesus, there's a lot of details to this, a lot of details that cannot fit into one sermon. Lord willing, as we go further, I will dig into this further because it's crucial, it's important. There's a lot of error taught regarding when Jesus was baptized, and so it's something that behooves us to cover. But John the Baptist recognized something about Jesus Christ before he baptized him. Matthew 3:13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, remember what he said to the religious leaders? He called them brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? What are you doing here to be baptized? But to Jesus, he says, no. John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. He recognized something about Jesus. He was hesitant to baptize him. He realized that Jesus does not need to repent. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Never sinned, ever. Fully God, fully man. As we continue on in the account here. But Jesus answered, saying to him, permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So when Jesus says, permitted at this time, you don't ask questions. You do what he says. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Much to cover in that, but not this morning. We remember why John was baptizing in the first place. Preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. For all righteousness to be fulfilled, Jesus says, John, you must baptize me. Jesus identifies and relates to his people in numerous ways, except in our sin. So we have the Lamb of God introduced, the Lamb of God concealed, and then the Lamb of God revealed, and then the Lamb of God proclaimed. John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, I myself have seen and have testified this is the Son of God, verse 34. I have seen, he says, that this is the Son of God. I did not recognize him, but he gave me eyes to see. I saw and I testify. This is God's Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to which I ask all in here this morning, have your eyes been opened? Do you see that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Has the Lamb of God taken away your sin? Is this what you testify to? That yes, behold, the Lamb of God has taken away my sin. Is this your testimony? John unequivocally proclaimed Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is your testimony this morning, I was blind, I did not recognize Him, but light of the world, the Lamb of God has opened my eyes and now I see. Those of you here this morning, you know, it's nothing wrong with having a boring testimony. I would encourage you to have a boring testimony. A lot of times when we hear people sharing their testimony, 90% of the way that they lived before, and then 10%, oh, by the way, I got converted. Now, there's times when we walk alongside someone and we've, you know, had the same type of background and we share that I could say, you know, I lived that way as well. I was in that depraved state as well. I walked in those sins just like you did. But there's nothing about having such a testimony that speaks about all this sin in your past life. No, the Lamb of God has taken away my sin. That is enough to say that I am saved by grace alone, that He has opened my eyes, that now I may see. The Lamb of God introduced. As we read through Isaiah 53 this morning, we looked at Genesis 22 briefly. We looked at Exodus. We've seen what John the Baptist says, that he says, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away sin. The Lamb of God has been introduced to everyone here this morning. Every single one of you, the Lamb of God has been introduced to you through the preaching of the Word of God, through these scriptures. The Lamb of God introduced. The Lamb of God concealed. If anyone's in here who does not know Christ, is not walking with the Lord, has not been forgiven of their sin, if you continue in your sin and reject Christ, stiff-arm Christ, say no to Christ, your heart will be hardened and hardened and hardened more and more and more. I plead with any in here this morning, do not harden your hearts. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. I plead with any in here who do not know Christ, don't face Christ in judgment. The Lamb of God concealed. The more one rejects Christ, the more He will be concealed to you. The Lamb of God revealed. I ask all in here today, has the Lamb of God been revealed to you? The Lamb of God revealed by His Spirit and through the preaching of the Word of God. The response required of everyone with the Lamb of God must be worship. God requires worship of every man, of every woman, of every boy, of every girl. Response is required to the Lamb of God being introduced to you, and that's repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God proclaimed. We either proclaim that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, or we say that He's a liar and so is John the Baptist. You either embrace Jesus as the Lamb of God, or you deny it to your own peril. This morning we're going to take communion. Our brother's going to lead us in communion. It's for those who know the Lamb of God. Those who can say, yes, I proclaim that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Yes, Jesus has taken away my sin. Jesus has forgiven me. I recognize that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I have repented and trusted Jesus, and I'm following Him. We proclaim the Lord's death until He comes with communion. There's a slight Freudian slip there. The Lamb of God proclaimed when we're water baptized. When after we're converted, we go and elders, someone baptizes us. And we say, that is showing symbolically the death, burial, and resurrection, but that is also showing that we believe in the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world and saying, I am going to obey Him in water baptism. Get out of the way. I'm in here. So many times people wait, they get converted and they go, oh, I don't know if I should be baptized 6 months, 8 months, a year. They're waffling, saying, oh, I don't know. No, He commands it. We ought to do it. And then we proclaim that Jesus is the Lamb of God by saying, that church over there, that church over there, I've been there for a period of time. And they preach the Word of God. They're not perfect, for no church is perfect. That cliche statement, I don't even like it. But I want to be under the elders of that church. I want to be with those people in that church. I want to be a member of that church because I believe Jesus is the Lamb of God who has taken away my sin. That nothing else in this world is more important than serving Jesus Christ and serving His church because He died for my sin. When your whole life is based on Jesus and Him being the Lamb of God and repenting and trusting Him, everything changes. Everything. We used to be dead and He raises us up and makes us alive. There is nothing like being alive in Christ, where sins have been put on Him, placed upon Him. God's wrath placed upon His Son on that cross, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Lamb of God proclaimed. There is no neutral ground with Jesus Christ. I've said it probably a few times in the last month or so. Serve Him, worship Him, bow the knee to Him, or deny Him, reject Him, and face eternal consequences in the lake of fire. Over here, serve Christ. Know Him. Love Him. Be with Him now. As the Holy Spirit resides in us. Be with Him in eternity. Serve Him, the God who created you. Or reject Him, live in your sin, and face eternal consequences. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, that we can look to Your Word this morning. We can hear John the Baptist's words this morning. Oh, Lord, thank You for opening up our eyes, that we were blind, but now we see. Thank You, Lord, that we can be here and sing to You, that we can be here and hear Your Word preached, that we can be here and pray, we can be here together, Lord, and honor and worship You, and we can take communion together. And Lord, thank You so much that we can welcome people today. Oh Lord, we can welcome new members today, and we welcome visitors today, oh Lord. Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.